This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everyone. This is Greg Gazin, your co-host.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, we've got an exciting show today. We've got the International Convention coming up, and we have the wonderful, wonderful opportunity to experience or to hear from some of the speakers who will be presenting at the International Convention to be held in Las Vegas. Who have we got on tap, Ryan, today?
Well, today we're going to be speaking with Marilyn Tam. Marilyn Tam is going to be presenting a session at the International Convention on Friday, August 14th, titled Leadership Excellence, How You Can Achieve It. A little bit about Marilyn. She's a speaker, author, consultant, board-certified executive, and corporate coach. And she's the CEO of Marilyn Tam & Company and the founder and executive director of US Foundation. She was formerly the CEO of Aveda, president of Reebok, and vice president of Nike. She's also a successful entrepreneur who's built four companies. Marilyn Tam, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Yeah, welcome. Yay, good to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Marilyn, to start off, this might seem like an overly fundamental question, but for the purposes of your session, how are you defining leadership excellence?
Thank you. That is a very good question because there are so many ideas what a leader is about. And being Chinese, of course, there's always a saying for everything. But the leader, the true leader, as defined by tradition in Chinese culture, is that a leader leads so much that people do not even know they're being led. They feel that they are just doing the highest and the best performance happily. And I think that's the difference between a leader in some more Western sense where they are forcing or directing people. But in a way, it's because when you've gathered your team in a way so that they feel like they are completely engaged with the mission and they're aware of what they need to do as individuals and as a group to fulfill the mission of the company and of the whole organization so that you then truly are a leader.
It sounds almost like hypnotic leadership.
Right? I guess it's not hypnotic. It's more participatory. So they sure. all feel engaged and committed to what the organization is about. And then, you know, you as a leader don't have to feel like that you have to come down heavily or hard on the people. People are so enthusiastic, engaged in doing what it is they need to do to make the mission be accomplished, that there's really no separation between what they think like they need to do and what you as a leader want them to do.
So to throw kind of another saying in there, if I can, I've heard sometimes it expressed that you want to grab people not just by the head, but by the heart. And it sounds like that's kind of what you're keying in on is getting sort of total buy-in from the people that you're leading.
Exactly. And I can give you some statistics of why this is so necessary. Part of my session is about the happiness choice, which is a book I wrote. And in the book, what I talk about is that in the United States alone, in 2013, which is the last year we have accurate statistics, Gallup Research, which, as you know, is one of the most prestigious research polling organizations, has shown that in the United States in 2013, we lost $550 billion with a B dollars in productivity due to lack of well-being and unhappiness in the workplace. So what you're talking about, what we're talking about here is to engage people, as you said, from the heart and how that works to truly unlock the potential creativity, productivity, all the essence, each of your employees or each person participating in the organization, including yourself, would be able to unleash and contribute.
So is this what you're going to be talking about in your session?
Yes, that's going to be part of it, is to show people how they can become leaders, not only for the whole group, but yourself. How are you too being fully fulfilled in your role?
You're talking about the contentment as a leader.
Correct. Contentment, happiness, the ability to lead from a place where you feel like you're leading out of joy. A lot of people say, oh, I have to go to work today. And we're going to change that. It's going to say, I get to go to work today.
So what is the session going to look like? Is it going to be delivered as a keynote or is it going to be interactive? What's the format like?
people learn better when they feel like they're engaged. So even though it is a presentation, there'll be places where people feel like they can get connected into it through reflection, through feedback, as much as we can in such a large group to have it interactive.
So they're going to walk away knowing a lot more about leadership and feeling good about doing it.
Absolutely. And be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Well, Marilyn, that's actually quite fascinating. So what will the attendees take away from your session?
They'll take away tools, they'll take away inspiration, and also a feeling that they've actually been able to be engaged and have the way to go back and motivate and inspire their team. And have fun, too.
Fun is always great. Marilyn Tam, Friday morning, August the 14th at the International Convention in Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up. Marilyn, thank you very much for being on our show.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Our next guest is Dana Lamon, a professional speaker for 24 years. Dana Lamon has given presentations for training programs, conferences, and conventions. He's presented keynotes for organizations such as Optimist, Kiwanis, National Public Employers Labor Relations Association, and National Workforce Development Professionals. Dana joined Toastmasters International in 1988 and has achieved both designations of World Champion of Public Speaking in 1992 and Accredited Speaker in 1993. He remains active as a member of three Toastmasters clubs, and Dana is going to be presenting at the International Convention on Wednesday, August 12th on Making the Club Experience Meaningful. Dana Lamon, welcome back to the Toastmasters podcast.
Yeah, welcome. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Good to have you with us once again. And Dana, tell us about your session, Making the Club Experience Meaningful. What can we do to make that a meaningful experience, and for whom?
I am excited about your asking, and for whom, because that's one of the four questions that I have in my notes here. You know, it's for whom are we making this club experience meaningful? You know, our club mission is that we create a supportive, positive learning club experience. I want to talk with the participants about that club experience and whether it's meaningful for the members. We put a lot of emphasis on bringing in guests and adding members. Even our Distinguished Club program has us adding 8 members. But I want to talk about how we keep the existing members. How do we keep people like Dana Lamon around for 27 years? We make the club experience meaningful by making sure that it is not I want to use the word disjointed. It's not disjointed from the rest of our life or our lives when we're talking about more than one person. So that club experience should be able to be integrated into family, into work, into community. And how do we take what we do in the club so that it can be integrated into our everyday lives?
Very cool. Sounds like a lot of material to cover, or a big topic to cover. How are you going to go about approaching that in your educational session? How are you going to crack open this whole topic and give your audience something that they can bring in back to their club and implement?
I'm going to start by offering 4 pillars or 4 guidelines or 4 questions that you can ask about your club in determining its meaningfulness. And in summary, we would be looking at self-definition, or in this case, club definition, purpose, and I'm talking about purpose beyond what Toastmasters International, in general, their mission is to develop leaders and communication skills, but specifically for this club, what is your purpose? Growth. That is, what is your growth plan? How do you keep the fire of change? I like to talk about it, the fire of change. How do you keep stoking that fire of change? So, because that's where growth is, and your ability to continually change. And then connection. How are the people within the club connected with each other? How do they interact with each other? Because as you know, every club is different. Every group of people is different. is different. And so you might have a group of people that are business oriented and they interact more like a network of business people as they work together. And then you have some clubs that are have members that are very closely connected. In one of my clubs recently, the president said, "I like coming to this meeting. It energizes me. I feel like I'm with family." So that's the connection she feels. And it is more like family. They do things socially together as well as go through the club experience. So that's what I'm talking about, how you put those things together and make sure that your club knows its role and what it's doing. That's the key thing. It's when you have a group of people who are floundering, that's when you're going to have members who are going to say, I don't know why I'm staying here. I mean, my life is already floundering. Why do I want to be with an organization that's floundering, right?
Right.
So it sounds like the session will be for any club, whether they are very strong and successful with 35 or 40 members or whether they have 8 members.
That is absolutely correct. And after all, it should, the club experience should be meaningful no matter what the size is. And it's possible that a club can be too large to be meaningful, and it could be too small to be meaningful for the particular individual who's in the club. That's why as an individual goes in and they're deciding which club I'm going to join, someone may want to be a member of 40 people, and someone else may rather be a member of 10.
Fair enough. One last question. What's the format going to be like? Is it going to be strictly delivery, or is there going to be some interaction, Q&A, et cetera?
I plan to have interaction. I am working on developing a handout, though I'm not great with developing material way in advance, but I am working on that. I doubt that I'll have PowerPoint. I'm more going to orate a bit, interact with the audience, and give them an exercise or two to do.
Excellent.
Dana Lamond, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I wish you all the success with your presentation in Las Vegas. It sounds like it's going to provide a lot of value to all of the audience members. So thanks for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Hope to see you in August.
That's Wednesday, August 12th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Las Vegas, Nevada. It's going to be hot. We are speaking today with Judy Carter. Judy has had a successful career in stand-up comedy. She's performed on over 100 TV shows, toured with Prince, and was nominated for Atlantic City Entertainer of the Year. Judy's message of using humor as a transformational tool led to her being featured in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and on CNN. She's a frequent contributor to NPR's All Things Considered radio program and is a weekly blogger for Psychology Today. Currently, Judy delivers keynotes internationally and coaches speakers on using personal stories and humor as a business tool. Judy Carter, welcome back to the Toastmasters podcast.
Yes, welcome, Judy.
Thank you. What a fantastic introduction. I have to say, that was the best intro I've ever written. Oh my God. I'm just so full of myself.
So, Judy, you presented at the International Convention in Cincinnati in 2013.
Absolutely. Those of people who were there know that when I go on stage, I don't know what it is, but weird things happen. And I know when I go on in Vegas, something else that's going to be so weird happens. But what I have learned is that when I said in Cincinnati, I can make anything funny, and a woman stood up and said, "My son was murdered. Can you make that funny?" Well, I have to tell you, and Toastmasters know this, your speech never goes the way you think it's going to go in the shower when you rehearse it. Things happen. And I walked off stage and I stopped in the middle of my speech and I walked to the middle of the room and I held that woman's hand and we had this intimate chat. And I have to tell you, that was a moment that nobody will forget. And I learned so much from Toastmasters, and I'm excited to come back in Vegas, because what I realized that you can't make people laugh unless you have a message. And so in Vegas, I'm going to talk about how to get laughs from having a message that's based on the first four letters of that word.
And that would be MESS.
Yes.
For those yes. playing along at home. So,
that's right. Because every one of you Toastmasters out there have a mess. And we like to forget about our mess. We like to forget about those things that happen in childhood. We like to forget about the messes of today. And we like to forget about, you know, the big joke that might be your credit card bill or your bank account, those kind of jokes, or your sex life, or whatever is your current mess. Rather than to disregard it, when I come on in Vegas, I'm going to show how to take your mess and turn it to a success, meaning turn it to a fantastic story. And since I've last talked in Cincinnati, oh my God, I'm going to tell this hysterical story because I was invited to speak at Toastmasters Oman. Do you guys know where that is?
I know it's in the Middle East.
The other end of the world. Other side
right.
of the world.
I did too when they said, let's go there. I thought it was in the Middle East, like near Chicago. it's not near Chicago. It's way out like near Saudi Arabia. What happened was, I don't want to tip off what happened, but I'm going to show how something so disastrous can be so funny and leave the audience inspired with a way to tackle their own messes.
I gave the eulogy at my dad's funeral, and my dad was a really funny guy, and so I thought, I'm going to break the mold. I told some stories. You could tell that there were people trying to laugh, and I thought, you know, I said, if you want to laugh, laugh. If you want to cry, cry. If you just want to sit there, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people enjoyed it, but there were a few people that found it offensive. So what are some of the techniques, or what's something that you can do, or are you going to talk about this in your session, how you could take something like this but not make it offensive if people are going to laugh at it?
Well, first of all, I don't think your first open mic should be at a funeral. just FYI, just because there's a microphone there doesn't, hey, like at a funeral, hey, how y'all doing? Ah, not so good. Right, we're at a funeral.
It was in good taste, but you could tell people were kind of holding back, and I said, it's okay.
Well, I'll tell you something. You could totally turn off a room by having an inappropriate joke. And sometimes a joke would work really great for one audience and then at another audience. Believe me, I did jokes that worked great in Berkeley, California, and you're doing them in South Carolina, they want to kill you. So not so great. You have to really know your audience. And we're going to talk about that in Vegas. Oh, I can't wait. I love Toastmasters because I love to watch them discover those stories that just connect to them, to their heart, and then they tell them and then they watch people get inspired. And so many Toastmasters are just ordinary people who find they have extraordinary stories. So that's what's going to be really fun.
Yes, Toastmasters is certainly transformational. Ryan, you've got one more question?
Yeah, sure. So one of the bullets in your session description, Judy, has to do with getting laughs from being in your story rather than merely telling your story. Can you explain the difference there for us?
Right. A lot of stories, people will sort of skip on the surface of the story, like, you know, how you skip a stone across the lake and it doesn't sink. Well, when you tell a story, here's a tip for you Toastmasters right now. Anytime you mention a person or even an animal, act them out. Become their voice. And this puts you in the story. So rather than going, you know, I have some dogs, they're really needy. Rather than just saying that, become the dog. Oh, my God. I go out to get the mail, and my dog goes, where have you been? I miss you. I love you. You know, my other dog is, like, totally emotionally unavailable. I'll go, come on up on the bed. My dog's like, oh, man, get a life. And so immediately, rather than just to say, my dogs are needy, or one dog's emotionally unresponsive, you actually become the dog and you act it out. That's one way to be immediately in your story rather than just to tell your story.
Sounds like it's going to be an incredible session. It's Thursday, August the 13th at the Toastmasters International Convention in August, and I believe it will be Thursday morning at 11 o'clock.
Absolutely, and it will be, it will be irreverent. I was going to say irrelevant. It will be relevant, but irreverent. There you go.
It'll be ear something, right?
It'll be ear something, yes. I will, although it's Vegas, I will be wearing clothes.
It won't be cool. It'll be irreverent, but not inappropriate.
Right. Well, I don't know. I can't guarantee that because when every time I speak at Toastmasters, crazy stuff happens. Who knows? We're just going to go with it.
Awesome, Judy.
Judy Carter, thank you so much for spending the time with us. I'm sure that everyone is going to be looking forward to your session.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Again. See you.
Our guest today is Tim Gard. Tim Gard is a tears-in-your-eyes funny keynote speaker who teaches people to be more resilient and resourceful. He coaches businesses on how to enhance productivity and employee enthusiasm. A member of the National Speakers Association, he's been inducted into the Council of Peers Award for Excellence Speaker Hall of Fame, an elite honor shared by only 150 people worldwide. He's also a certified speaking professional. Tim Gard, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Yeah, welcome.
I've been excited. This is going to be great. I've really been looking forward to chatting with you.
I'm looking at your title, and I'm starting to laugh already. It's called Laughter Becomes You. Tell us about the title, and tell us a little bit about your session, Tim.
Sure. In the last 20 years that I've been speaking professionally, as I've gone to other countries, I've discovered that we all smile and laugh in the same language. It connects us in a very visceral, a very strong manner. The more you do it, the more we smile and laugh, the easier it becomes. And in fact, now neuroscience, just in the last few years, has provided a lot of the basis for why it works so well. With when you're laughing, you're releasing oxytocin, which makes you feel good. And when you're angry and upset, the brain releases cortisol, which we don't want. The laughter becomes you. It's just something that strengthens you as a person and gives you wider communication skills to be able to connect with audiences too.
And Tim, I know this is part of your session, but how does humor connect as a business skill specifically?
For me, a lot of the business skills involve how we connect and even relationship marketing or relationship selling. And what we want to do is we want to increase our likability, that people really do business with folks they like. You know, I mean, it goes without saying, rather than folks they dislike. This ability to connect with people with humor is something anybody can do. For instance, I have these foam letter B. They're just about an inch by half an inch, but they're just foam letters. They're free B. And I will check into a hotel and I'll say, do you have any freebies today? And they'll say no. And then I'll give it to them and say, these are for you. They start laughing and cracking up, and I'll say, put that under the counter. And the next time somebody asks you for freebies, instead of getting upset, you're going to laugh. So the humor helps us put aside stress. It helps connect us with the laughter. And I stick with those things. I've found that cubicle where people work is a cubicle is a cubicle, whether it's in Dubai, Singapore, or in Austin, Texas. I have these crab puppets called cubicle crabs that you put on and you scamper across the top of the cubicle with your hand and then ask somebody that's crabby, are we being a little crabby today? It's a real morale booster. From a business standpoint, we first want to be able to diffuse stress, to eliminate it so that we can be really focused and in the moment when we're doing our business. And I think humor accomplishes that to help us learn to act and not react to situational stressors.
So you have these visual props. How, for example, would someone make it their own as opposed to, okay, we've heard the freebie one, it's associated with you. How would they make their own?
Well, it's first finding that, you know, I call them trigger words. It's the things that people say or do that cause stress. A good example, and I mean, I do market them on my website at timgard.com, but most of the ones that are the most successful are the ones that I've invented or even they could invent. Imagine two tea strainers welded together that make glasses, and they look like bug eyes, and they're called Don't Bug Me glasses. And they're hilarious, but somebody who is really, really rushed and pushed would set it on their desk and use it to focus on for just a minute to be able to refresh and renew. It's taking the things that normally cause us stress and doing away with them. And since some people are very visual and some are auditory, some work for either one. I'll give you one more. In the U.S., we have the saying, you hear this a lot with the government, you take care of it, that's why you get the big bucks. So I had dollar bills made up that are about maybe, you know, half a meter by a quarter meter. They're huge. And they give those out to new supervisors and tell them, you're going to hear this saying and it's going to get irritating until you look at this.
That wouldn't work here because we have the loony. We have the dollar coin. So that's big right. Loony probably doesn't work, but I think we get the,
but you get the concept.
We get the buck. We get the big bucks.
I like the idea of a large, giant cardboard cutout of a deer, a male deer.
And when you look at it, you could see the deer in the headlight look.
There you go.
But, you know, really simply put, I tell people about when something bad or stressful happens, you say bummer, either in your mind or out loud, and you let it, just let it go instead of carrying it around. And when something good happens, you go woohoo, woohoo. Sometimes you just do it in your mind. But it's something where instead of getting angry or upset, we use humor as a skill to be able to refresh and renew, and anybody can do it. It's just so I watch so many people get angry over every little thing.
This is an interesting take on humor, Tim. I was expecting it to be more specifically focused to incorporating humor into your presentations as a business skill, but you're talking about actually, you know, bringing it right into the day-to-day of your workplace, of your life. I imagine is presentation-wise, is that going to be part of your goal as well?
Yes, and I look at it from the focus that I was just giving you in that when we impart and share from the platform, it's meant so that the people in the audience can take and use it. But it does work exactly the other way. I mean, when I first started speaking 20 years ago and used, I call them humor accessories, but they're visual props. Other speakers told me, they said, well, you're like Gallagher, the comedian. Right up until my customers started saying, you know, Tim, that those big bucks really took that concept for us and locked it in. Or the saying, bummer, woohoo, we've incorporated that in our corporate culture in order to help us deal with stress. So on the platform, using humor strategically, what it does is, it helps people connect. When we get people laughing, we can actually tell them complex ideas and they'll assimilate them easier. They're paying attention because they're listening to the humor and they're not bored. I read an article that said people learn better in a state of moderate arousal, and humor is a legal way to do that. So, yes, from the platform, if we use it strategically, then it's a speaking skill. If all we do is get up and tell jokes, we're comedians.
You mentioned strategically, and I'm thinking back to a speech that I heard about a year ago, and it was about HR. It was an HR, human resource related speech. And it turned out that it was so funny that I felt that the message was lost. How do you balance something like that?
That's an excellent question. One of my past jobs, I worked for the U.S. federal government for the food stamp program. There were times when it had, you know, when I got up on, talked about programs, when you have to be totally serious. And quite frankly, not everything is funny. The difference is children, we sometimes don't know when or how to use it. And I would get in trouble in school, which you can only imagine. As I got older and as I started using it more strategically, I found that in my speech, as I go, attention spans begin to waver. Originally at about 11 minutes was when TV commercials occur. And now it's getting shorter and shorter attention span. By using little bits of humor here and there, I'm able to get people to continue, you know, to better maintain their attention. And by keeping it topical and to the point, it's not up just telling jokes. For instance, I was doing some work for a company that does support work for Facebook. When Facebook's initial offering of stock came out and their stock dropped, the president of the company said to me, Tim, I need a line. These people need something to bolster confidence about, you know, even though Facebook stock picked back up. But he said, I don't know what to say. And I said, go out and say this. I said, you say Facebook stock dropped so much lately that instead of buying it, they're just happy if you like it. It solved the problem, and it was used strategically, topically. If you're only up there telling jokes all the time, your audience doesn't know when you're really giving them solid information. The same way as if you've got somebody up there who's boring all the time with facts, and then when they tell something that's funny, you hear everybody go, "Was that a joke?" It's a strategic blend for me. I really think that it's important that we not overuse it, like what you were describing.
Fair enough.
So, Tim, sounds like you've got a lot of content to deliver here for the audience in Las Vegas. I know your session is going to be on Friday, August 14th. Laughter Becomes You, and wish you all the best with it. Thanks for joining us today, Tim.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there at the International Conference in Las Vegas. If the listeners would like to learn more about me before then, it's just www.timgard.com.
Sounds like it'll be a fun session.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.